All right, here we go.
Turkey.
The turkey.
Just Matt, just say that about three or four times throughout the show at random.
Turkey, 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 turkey.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Who are you calling turkey? All right. This is episode 232 on November 23rd. No, it's not. It's 23rd. All right. That's throwing me off. Hold on.
Well, the 23th.
Thank you.
I dare you to open it like that. This is episode 232 on November 23rd, 2017.
Turkey. That's really all I'm going to contribute tonight.
Awesome. This is episode 232 on November 23rd, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and
turkey.
Thank you. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Podner.
I'm Greg McMillan.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Happy Thanksgiving, gentlemen. How are you guys doing? Let's start with you, Greg, since you're out of the country.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to my American friends. And as you know, we had our Thanksgiving about a month and a half ago, so no turkey for us today.
Oh, man.
But been a long week at work, so I'm doing much better now that I'm done.
Nice. How are you doing, Dave?
Doing good, and we were full turkey today. And it's going to take a while to recover from all that turkey. Decently busy week with photography this week. I think I mentioned on the last show how Pittsburgh had its light up night for whatever reason this year, the Friday before Thanksgiving, instead of a little bit afterward. So we were able to hit downtown after work last Friday and actually see three tree lightings happening.
Nice.
And realized that we were lucky that even though it was chilly, it wasn't that cold. In terms of, you know, holding the phone out and having to deal with anything cold issues per se. So that's always nice.
Very cool. How are you doing, Matt?
I am fantastic, Joe.
Woohoo. What you been
up to? I don't really have a whole lot to say as far as what I've been up to since last week. Mostly nothing, I guess. Not a lot of shooting, just like some family stuff and whatnot. I was hoping to get out today to do some digiscoping, you know, with the and use the iPhone as the camera. But that just didn't happen.
Digiscoping, what is that?
Basically where you're using the a camera of some sort and it's attached to like a spotting scope.
Oh,
or binoculars.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just picked up a cheap spotting scope, so I have all the chromatic aberrations in my images. So I'm looking forward to testing that out some more.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was going to go, try to do some like bird photography. Cause right now there's like huge amounts of like migrating, like shorebirds and seabirds and stuff that are all along the Lake Erie shoreline. And we're also getting like a pretty good influx of snowy owls right now.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, ooh, they should be heading my way then.
Yeah. I mean, if they're already here in Ohio, then yeah. You should be in snowy owl heaven, Greg.
Yeah. I have one good picture of a snowy owl that I took with my Canon when I had it. And that's all I've got. They're pretty elusive around here at times.
Yeah, it's hard to get close to one.
Yeah. Well, so the one that I did get, I was able to walk up the road. It was on a hydro pole right at the excuse me, right at a corner, an intersection out in the country. And I was able to just keep creeping up and creeping up. And I probably got about 25 yards from the pole and a few shots off before it flew away.
Oh. Nice. Yeah, I have a pretty close-up shot of one that I took down in it was actually along the coast in New Hampshire just a few years ago. And I was with Mark Sadowski and Maude Byrne and Mike Siska. And it was actually sitting on top of someone's roof.
Oh, wow.
And so I got, you know, these nice close-up shots, but I really want to get more of like the nature kind of shot, not where it's sitting on a building.
Yeah.
But in any case, the only other thing I guess I did is play a lot with live photos.
Yeah.
I guess I was somewhat inspired after the conversation on last week's episode where Dave had mentioned that guy in the podcast we talked about said that he kind of always shoots in live photo mode.
Yeah. Austin Mann.
I was like, oh yeah, that I never really like thought to like always do that, because I don't really feel like picking through like frame by frame to decide like which frame of out of 3 seconds of frames is the best one. But yeah. I should use it more and kind of play with the effects. So I took my son to this park in town the other day, and I heard like a waterfall or something. So we walked over to go check it out, and it was like this whole stream with all these cascades on it that I had no idea was even there. Huh. And it was weird because I've lived here for 3.5 years and I've been to this particular park more than a handful of times. And I just never noticed this stream before. Huh. And so we hung out there and he threw sticks and leaves and stuff to watch him go down the falls. And then I thought, well, I don't feel like walking back to the car to get a tripod and stuff to photograph this. I'll just do the live photo thing and use the long exposure effect. And I got to say, I actually think the results are kind of impressive for being handheld.
Yeah. When I do the handheld with a slow shutter cam, I don't get the best results. And it seems like with the live photos, they took into account that, 99% of the time people are going to handhold it. So I think they really put a lot of effort into making it a good image.
Because did you ever notice that when you save a live photo as a long exposure, it actually, once you hit the button to save it, it actually zooms it in a bit? It's like it's cropping a little bit off around the outside to give you a stabilized image.
Let me try it.
Pro Camera does that with when you do a Vivid HDR shot within Pro Camera. I noticed that when I was saving them out, the resolution would not be the full resolution of the camera. So I got a hold of them and I said, "What's happening here?" And they said, well, if you're doing it handheld, it'll actually crop all the little bits off the edges until it lines everything up and gives you the sharp image that you want.
It actually does it for the loop, the bounce, and the long exposure.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, I still think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah, I did... I took some images on Sunday, or the little Sunday school class that I teach once a month, did a talent show. And so I took pictures of the kids as they're, you know, doing their little talents, and I did the live photos so I can actually go through, and if they had kind of turned their head a little bit, I can choose the best frame for that in the live photos. And it's kind of nice to have that little bit of control. It almost feels like cheating, but you know, when you can, you know, put it all together and then send it, and then the parents will get it. They get a nice photo. It's kind of nice to have that option. But I had that, and then I have a couple of days off now. I'm gonna try to do the same thing Matt's doing and take that cheap piece of junk spotting scope, and I'm borrowing my father-in-law's eyepiece holder that I can attach my phone to. What is that called? I got it right over there. I can't.
I forget. Mine's in the car right now, so I forget what it's called.
Yeah, mine's about 15 feet away, and it doesn't have anything written on it. But yeah, it's a fun little device that you can attach your phone to, and then it'll grab around the eyepiece of either binoculars, a spotting scope, or a telescope. And do you have to zoom in on it a little bit to get some of the vignetting out?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the one that we have is the Gosky. The Gosky Universal Cell Phone Adapter
there mount. There we go. Universal Adapter. That's what I was looking for. Yeah, I'll have links to it in the show notes. It's a very good piece of equipment to have, you know, just in case you want to use it at some point. I did take some pictures of my kids with a set of binoculars, and I love the depth of field effect that I was able to capture with it. The one thing that I do notice is that you have to be very still or have a lot of control when you're getting ready to take the pictures, because you can introduce a lot of motion into the image. Mm. And the one spotting scope that I have has the tripod adapter socket. So I may try to use either a monopod or a tripod when I take it out.
Yeah, now, I think a tripod is like essential.
I'm about to say, would you use a the built-in app, or would you use an app that has a stabilizer function that would hold off on taking the photo until everything's nice and steady?
I don't know if I have one. Which apps do the will hold off? Is Camera Plus one of them?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Camera Plus has the anti-shake mode that'll wait for your hand to be steady before it actually takes a picture after you hit the shutter.
I think Pro Camera has that too.
Okay.
Yeah,
I do everything in the native app. It's just easy to capture, and I do have Camera Plus on the quick menu, but it's like my muscle memory is to auto magically go for the native app. So
I'm liking Halide.
The what?
Halide. That I think you guys mentioned it last week, that camera app. H-A-L-I-D-E.
Oh, yeah. Did you try it?
I'm really liking it.
Okay. Yeah,
it has raw capability, and it has, you know, it has the histogram, things like that. If you have the 7+, 8+, or the 10, it can do like a depth mode, like for portraits and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got some pretty cool features in it. But now, does it have anti-shake? I don't think so.
Yeah. I haven't messed with that one yet.
So. It was designed by a former Apple guy and somebody from Twitter, I believe.
Spell it again. I want to look at it.
H-A-L-I-D-E.
Okay.
I call it halide. Some people say halide, but I call it halide, like silver halide.
Oh, okay. Very cool. I'll check it out. Now it'll work with my iPhone 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think the only thing that you'll be it's halide by waiting for the page to load. Chroma Noir LLC for at least I'm showing it for $299 right now.
Yeah, $299. Sweet. I'll check it out. Another $3 to Apple. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. Speaking of portraits, I thought that it would be good for us to kind of jump into the family portrait discussion, because we are in that time of year where a lot of people get together with family. They like to try to get everybody together and take a picture. So I thought it would be good to kind of throw out some tips and give people ideas, not only with, you know, what do you do when you bring everybody together? How do you set it up? And also, how do you deal with the small human beings we call children, you know, when it comes to taking pictures like that? Because most of the time, kids are pretty good about taking pictures. You have quite a few, though, that don't like to work with you. So, you know, I thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about that. So let's start off. When do you guys take family portraits? Is it during the holidays, or is it, say, any time? Let's start with you, Matt.
I probably have the least to contribute to this.
No, I'd say I do.
I don't really do what I would consider portraits, family or anyone really. I mean, I take pictures of, you know, family stuff, mostly just like my son and, you know, maybe cousins and stuff like that. But I wouldn't consider any of it portraits. It's just snapshots.
Okay. What about you, Dave?
Well, one thing we found out is the portrait mode on the Plus models and the, well, I don't know about the 10, but I know on the 7 Plus makes a huge difference for doing portraits. Even if you're not doing, you know, let's say the most formal portrait in the mode in the world, but more of trying to get a picture, like you said, when things are happening. We had a family get together over the summer. Over Ruth's brother's house, and just trying to take pictures. Like I said, the grandkids three, four, something on that nature.
Uh-huh.
You're right. Trying to get them to stay still, it doesn't work. Or trying to get them to smile and look at the camera type thing. When they may not, or the happiest in the world for whatever reason, little kids are. The portrait mode does help because it just makes the photos look a lot better, giving that effect. It was a bright sunny day and it did a really good job. The other thing is, and I know maybe other people, of course, other people have thought of this, but if you think about, or at least when I think of portrait, I think of portrait orientation.
Okay.
But I just – so many times that I've wanted to take a picture of people in a portrait, you know, sit down or while something's going on, turning the camera horizontal, which the portrait mode works in horizontal pretty good too. Because so many times you got two, three, four people, let's say, sitting down on the couch, you're wanting to take a picture or a family get together and you're trying to get, you know, everyone in the shot. Yeah, everyone thinks portrait, so you're going to hold the camera vertically. Well, turn it horizontally and it makes it a whole lot easier to get everyone in if you're using a portrait mode, or if you're using like the Highlight app or that Focus app that we talked about a few weeks ago that now with iOS 11 actually takes the depth effect and gives you that information in the app that they can process later on. Do it horizontal. Or if you have, I know we have a friends of Ruth that were invited to their family reunion. It's a lot larger family. If you have to, do a panoramic one if you have a whole bunch of people set up. You know, yeah. Trying to say, okay, we're trying to get a shot, everyone, and instead of being so far away to get a group in, or trying to get, you know, a couple rows deep where people can get hidden, trying to just a panoramic where you can get a lot closer, hopefully.
As long as they're situated in a semicircle.
Yeah.
You want pretty much everybody the same distance from the camera at that point.
I've actually had, and I would say some success, not 100% success, instead of me standing and kind of rotating my body, but me walking with the camera to try to do a panoramic. So, I mean, it's not the best in the world, but
that's
a lot
how
of
it
times
was advertised when it first came out, though, the pano mode. It was advertised with someone walking along a group of children and dressed up in little costumes. In one of the Apple commercials, yeah.
Okay.
Now, mind you, it had a plain white background, so it would work. So you wouldn't, you wouldn't see anything changing or whatever. But for me, whenever there's a big family reunion or function on my mom's side, it's a really big family. So this past summer, Canada celebrated their 150th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
And so on Canada Day, actually, I think it was the day after, but out at my one uncle's place, there was a whole pile of people. And, of course, at these things, they always want me to do the group photo.
Yes.
And I said to my aunt, okay, but all I shoot now is with my iPhone. Well, that's okay. Could you think you could do it? I said, yeah. So everybody got set up around this little flower bed that she had. She had planted the flowers to make them look like the Canadian flag. And then everybody was standing behind that. So there was about 80 people. And what I did was I used the native app and I put it on a timer. And then I ran in to get into the picture. So, of course, when you use the self timer, it takes a burst of 10 pictures. And I did that about 3 or 4 times. So I had basically 40 pictures to pick one good one from or combine them to get some good ones. And I ended up with a really good shot.
Good.
All I did was I used part of one and part of another one, put them together. Luckily, the people around the middle were pretty still, so I was able to put them together and you wouldn't know any difference.
Nice.
And it actually turned out quite nice.
And that's
it was
that
an overcast day, so there was no harsh shadows.
Yeah, that's all that matters is, you know, if it looks good, it doesn't matter if it came from another image. You know, that's...
Oh, yeah. And, you know, something that Austin Mann talked about in that podcast was shooting in burst mode.
Yeah.
And the iPhone used to be able to take 1,000 at one time. But iOS 11 has constricted it to 600. So you could sit there with your finger on that shutter button for 600 frames.
That'll teach him.
Yeah. But the reason he does that is because if he's anticipating that something's going to happen, like a bird's going to fly away or a cat or a dog is going to do something or a child or whatever, he'll just sit there and just play on burst mode and just keep going and keep going until it runs out and then just start over again. And then because eventually he said he gets the shot.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of sorting through to get the one you want, but he says he rarely misses a shot doing that. So I think the same would apply to doing family portraits. You know, sit there and just sit on burst mode for, you know, 300-400 pictures if you have to, but you're bound to get the shot you want.
Yeah, I just took 72 photos right now. 600 yeah. is a lot. That's insane.
And it doesn't take long, does it?
No, it doesn't.
That took you 7.2 seconds.
Yeah, that's
because these things fire them at 10 frames per second.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll see it hesitate, but then it's just like, you're like, oh, before you know it,
yeah,
you know,
it's
600. I wouldn't sit back and say, oh, they're ripping us off. Instead of doing 1,000, we can only do 600. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. 200, I think, is quite a few. You know, 600. You know,
and I had no idea what the limit was, or I never even thought of a limit. I always thought, oh, just hold it for a couple of seconds and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, you know, we had some portraits of the family done, and it wasn't like formal, but it was done. The church had hired a photographer to come in and take some pictures of some of the people that do things around the church, and so we just recently saw them. We don't have them yet, but we saw them. The images, and you know, she did a really good job. I was very pleased with it, and it got me thinking. You know, I need other people to capture my portrait, especially with my family, because I tend to be on the back side of the camera, not in front. So family gatherings, a lot of times, you know, it's always somebody's going to be left out, and it's my job to make sure, no, let's make sure that everybody's in there. You know, let me get the tripod, let me set it up and do a burst mode. When we went up to New Hampshire and had the family reunion, I did set up a tripod and I did the countdown, and it worked. You know, I ran over and got some good images, and you know, it was fun to be able to do that, because you know, I remember some of the cameras we used to have, the film cameras that had the timer. But you know, you took a couple of them hoping that you got something. There wasn't the instant feedback that you get now.
And then there was always someone with their tongue sticking out or something.
And that's usually a child. And so,
yeah.
You know, so the portraits that we had at the church, when we had the kids, we made sure that, you know, my wife and I, we held the two youngest ones and the other two stood around. They all did a good job, but we were like, all right, look at the camera, make sure you're looking. And then smile, you know, and so we were engaged with them. We got them to focus, and then they said, "Well, why don't we do some of just the kids?" And I said, "Great!" So my wife and I went and sat down. We got on the ground because we got on their level, and we stayed. My wife was on one side of the photographer. I was on the other, and. To be honest, I wish there was video of what my wife and I were doing, because the kids were engaged. They were looking, and we got some awesome images. But my wife and I are like, "Hey, look it over here!" Woo, making faces at them and doing things that would catch their attention. And if it's just the camera sitting there flashing to go off, you know, kids are like, "Oh, okay, well, look at this. Hey, there's a bug on the ground." Or, "Mom, I don't want to be here. I'm going to cry instead." You know, so a lot of times it's good to have somebody there, especially if it's a photographer that's used to working with children. You know, if they have some sort of a puppet or a stuffed animal that they'll use to say, "All right, look, here's your buddy. Keep your eye on him." You know, something bright, something that looks fun. The kids are going to, you know, they have a short attention span. You know, you're typically, rule of thumb for a teacher is the amount of time you have on a specific subject is a minute for every year that they're alive. So if you're dealing with 2 and 3 year olds, you have 2 or 3 minutes before they have completely checked out. And, you know, it starts getting better as they get older. You know, a 10-year-old, you have a little bit more time. But even still, they'll start to tune out and do other things. The next you know, you're trying to corral, you know, them back in, get them back into the fold and making sure. So, you know, if you're dealing with little ones, you got to make sure you got to make it fast. You got to engage them and capture their attention and then just roll with it. You know, if sometimes there's no going back. If one starts to cry and have a hissy fit, that's typically the mark of the end of the shoot. So, you know, there's a lot of things you have to do, and you know, sometimes you have to look a little crazy in order to capture their attention.
And sometimes there's more luck involved than anything.
Yeah, that too, especially. I found a lot of times a lot of good images that I've got with children is when they don't know that you're looking at them.
Oh, yeah. Candid shots are the best.
Yeah. So, you know, because like with my kids, you know, they're like, all right, smile. And then instead of it being a sweet, natural smile, it's a I'm going to give the cheesy grin because this is what I always do in front of a camera. And so, yeah. You know, you get the and like, oh, no, don't do that.
But the eyes don't do it. The eyes aren't smiling.
Yeah. Eyes aren't smiling, or you can't see them because they've closed their eyes. So
the school portrait look.
Yeah. And so a lot of times, like I've shot some images of some friends of mine. They're two boys, and we took them to a playground and had them run around, and I would sort of be there, sort of not be there. They knew I was there, but you know, you let them get into their zone. And then I was like a nature photographer. I had to sneak around and kind of anticipate their moves in order
paparazzi.
capture them naturally. And a lot of times you have to be on the ground, because if you're shooting kids, that sounds awful. When you're taking pictures of kids,
photos of children,
you need to be on their level, you know, because it's more natural. If you're always looking down at them, you know, it's not a good image. It takes away from what you're trying to do. So you have to be down on their level. So dress appropriately for that too.
Matt, do you have any tricks up your sleeve for shooting or taking photos of your son?
No, a lot of the stuff that I do with him is, candid. But if I do want him to pose, generally I'm pretty straightforward with him because he does that kind of cheese smile kind of thing, like you were talking about, Joe, and. So, you know, I basically just tell him to, you know, just to look at me. And then for some reason, he gives me a better smile. And like, I don't know what it is, but usually it's like take two or take three. I get a good shot. But
that's not bad.
You know, kids are definitely a challenge. Like when I was in college, I worked a job as a photographer taking pictures of kids and babies.
That's right.
And I think I probably mentioned this before, but it was, I liked the job. It was fun. I went to people's homes. I had like a whole like portable portrait studio set up, and I shot a medium format camera, and it was pretty cool. And I would get into total goofball mode with kids then. I mean, it was, I'd have them show me their favorite stuffed animal or their favorite toy or something. And then I would tell them that, you know, the stuffed animal had to help me take the pictures, you know, could I hold on to it for a minute?
Yeah.
And I'd do like just silly things like set it on top of the camera and then tell the kid like, okay, on the count of three, I'm going to take the picture. And then like on the count of two, I'd knock it off the camera. And then I'd like sternly talk to the stuffed animal, like, hey, don't do that. You sit there on that camera till I take the picture. And stuff like, see, like that would make kids laugh, you know, and it would, and I had to be like that because taking pictures of other people's kids is kind of like a whole different thing because they don't know me.
Yeah.
You know, so they're really apprehensive and I had to break down those barriers and I had to do it fast. You know, because, you know, like you said, Joe, you have that limited amount of time and, you know, so you gotta do it fast and, you know, just have kids kind of be relaxed and then the whole thing is really easy after that. But, that's not to say I didn't have my fair share of appointments where it was basically like, you know what, guys, I think we're going to have to reschedule this.
Yes. Yeah. Junior's over there, out of his shorts and, throwing a temper tantrum.
Well, I do take a lot of pictures of my son and I do have a lot of pictures of him that I think are like really great pictures. But we do still buy and hang up in the house his like, life touch portraits from school.
Yeah.
You know, cause there's just something about those. I don't have like those, they have all these fancy backdrops now and, they're just kind of cute pictures. So we really like those.
It was almost a bit of a tradition with those two, you know, like they're a very traditional style of portrait that we've been getting for years. Our parents got them of us when we were kids, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that is true. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I need to update my wall. I have, you know, my kids, you know, I still don't have my youngest up on the wall. And I only have one picture of my middle daughter, but I need to go through and update the images of my children. Oh, more things for me to do.
Have you ever tried using a squeak toy to get their attention? It worked on our dog. I have a friend who does pet portraits, and I went out to her place, and I had one done for my wife's birthday of our dog. About 3 years ago. And, I tell you that this dog is so much fun. She said usually about 10, 15 minutes and the dog or the pets that she does are ready for a nap or they're ready to run outside. I was at her house for about 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
This dog was just, she would pose and Cindy, my friend, would squeak a little squeak toy and get the dog to look. And, you know, she managed to get a ton of photos.
Wow.
And it was hard to pick the right one to get enlarged. But, you know, and then so then there was one point where the dog would have a real quick play on the couch. And, oh, it was just hilarious. I got it on video with my iPhone at the time. But just a squeak toy would be something different for kids. You know, they're probably not used to hearing something like that to get their attention and, you know, just pull one out of your pocket and give it a little squeak and then bang, hit the shutter.
Yeah. I've never used a squeak toy, but what about you, Matt?
I'm not going to say that I didn't, but I don't remember specifically.
Our dog is like our kid. So that's why I brought that up. Now we have two.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Anything else that you guys wanted to mention or bring up about portraiture, shooting kids?
Well, I know that over the summer we had our one, I think like fourth, fifth cousin type relation over. And she was, I think she's 6 years old. Uh-huh. And this sounds weird, but she was a really mature six-year-old in terms of just dealing with adults and wanting to take pictures and doing poses. Uh-huh. And a lot of what – and she took direction from Ruth really well in terms of how to pose, where to look, and having a background. And like you said, saying something like, look over my shoulder. So you're not getting that staring straight at the camera look.
Yeah.
you know, where you get the eyes kind of fixated together, open wide, like, okay, I'm looking at the camera, now what? But, you know, looking over the shoulder, or, you know, looking off on the side, where it still looks posed, but the child looks like a little bit more of a human being, less of a mannequin you have posed up there. But yeah, so a lot of those pictures were just really good. And again, doing the portrait mode on the phone helped out a lot too.
Yeah.
And it seems to be, and the nice thing is a lot of the updates are now software updates and not necessarily better hardware for the back-facing camera and portrait mode for that. Because the things they need to, any kind of fixes for like dealing with the borders between what's in focus and what's not in focus. Now that's a lot of software tweaking that they can work on behind the scenes. And hopefully since it's something, it seems to be across in terms of multiple cameras, where it's, well, the 7 Plus, the 8 Plus and the 10 all use the same basic technology and basic, it's still two cameras. They didn't introduce anything new into the 10 for the rear facing.
Yeah.
So whatever they're going to do to put out to improve the 10 will also improve the 7 and 8.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. Well, if anybody has any, ideas on, how they overcome, problems with photography with, kids or large groups, go onto our Facebook group and let us know what you guys do. This is something that a lot of people would actually use every single year, especially around the holidays. This is the time that family gets together, and it's you're not doing a special occasion, outside of the holiday seasons. But if you're the one that they always say, oh, here comes Joe. Joe can take our picture, or this is something that can help you to create better images. And so a lot of people would love to know what are best practices and good tips and tricks to use.
And I'm one of them, because I rarely take pictures of people, but now that I have portrait mode, I want to get into that a lot more. And I'm always open to ideas about, how to do portraiture and things like that.
Greg, two things real quick before we move off. First of all, portrait mode, we probably realize now, works great with pets too.
Yeah.
If you can get them to stay still enough. And when you were putting the different photos together, trying to get the portrait, the larger group portrait together, were you using Photoshop, or what software were you using? Do you remember?
I think I don't have Photoshop. Okay. I no longer use Lightroom. I use Luminar, but I think it was Affinity on the Mac. I know there's an iPad version, but I use it on the Mac. That's my Photoshop equivalent.
Because I know there was an app a few years ago, and I don't know if it's still active or not, that actually had it set up where you could take a photo, move one person out, move another person in, take a photo, and it would automatically do all the cropping and make it look like it was one photo type thing. Cool. Or saying, well, this photo, I want to take this half from this photo and this half from this photo. It would... And I forget the name of it, and I want to say
it was. It's not Group Shot, was it? There was one called Group Shot that I tried before, and
yes, I have that one, and it's okay. It doesn't render a large image. It's almost it's almost a screenshot type quality, unless you changed it. But I think it's not, it's not the best.
Yeah, I'm seeing here, chosen by the App Store as best of the App Store in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
It's, if they were to increase the quality and size of the images that you can produce, I think it's an awesome app. I think it would be a very versatile app to use, especially when you're dealing with kids, because you could have one kid that's looking straight, the other one's looking away, next photo it's the opposite, you know. And so when you're able to select the poses or the faces of what you want, and it seamlessly, you know, changes everything and it looks perfect, you know, why not? That looks great, you know. But it like I said, it's like a screenshot. It's not very large.
Yeah, and I'm checking the App Store right now. It actually was updated a day ago.
Yes.
Which, for a 5-year-old app, really shocks me that they're keeping it updated. But unfortunately, 1.7 out of 5 ratings.
Yes. So I will definitely give it another try, but I'm fairly certain that they have not increased the size. Let's see, where is it? I have it. Yep, group shot. So I'll try it. I'll let you know how it works. Okay. All right. After I put that in, let's do this. I'm going to grab this and play this.
Post pick of the week.
All right, we are in the middle of our weekly photo challenge, which is food. And hopefully today a lot of people have got some great shots of their Thanksgiving meals. For the rest of the world, I am expecting nothing less than awesome photography, so there's no excuse. But since it's the middle of the weekly photo contest, it is time to go to the well, which is Instagram, and use the hashtag Tiny Shutter. So Dave, take it away.
You scared me there for a second.
But I'll say right there, yeah, right there you put Greg in the panic mode. He's like, what, huh?
pressure.
So I picked this week from Pedro Regalia, and his Instagram is Pedro Regalia altogether. It is Pier by Bridge, Tartas River in Lisbon, taken with an iPhone SE.
Portugal.
I always love to see, and of course, you know, anywhere where you're not living can be exotic, but any different location from like normal shot, but so I just see a lot frequent of.
Yes.
And I love the look of the pier in the background. And I know it's more of a how the optical works on it, but the bridge kind of being framed by the two piers from down below.
Yeah.
And the shot from the bridge from a very low angle shot looking up at the bridge.
Yeah.
In fact, if he wouldn't have said Portugal, just briefly looking at it, I can almost see Golden Gate almost in a little bit in terms of the silhouette.
It looks like a mixture between the Golden Gate and what used to be the Bay Bridge.
Okay, yeah.
Let's see. Yeah,
lighthouse in the background too. Right behind the bridge.
Oh,
yeah. Or some kind of tall structure. It's kind of melds a little bit with the sky.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this image. I like the monotone, the black and white. There's a lot of rich darks in there as in contrast with the looks like a cloudy sky. And you know, I'm a sucker for bridges also. My favorite bridge to capture is the Golden Gate, since, you know, that's close to where I used to live and the city I was born. And then, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of lines, details in lines and intersecting lines you know, leading lines and everything like that that's mixed into it. So there's a lot of information there, and I do like you said, the piers that are there at the edge of the water. I looks like what they used to tie down boats or large ships. You know, that it helps to frame the bridge and kind of give it an avenue to go through. But I do like this image. What are your thoughts, Matt?
I haven't seen it.
Oh. Okay,
great. It just occurred to me that I should probably look it up right now.
I'll put it in the chat. But Greg, what are your thoughts on it?
I like it. I've communicated with Pedro in the Artful Eye Photography community on the Mighty Bell Network that's Warren Oppheim has. Excuse me. And I really like this in black and white. I don't think it would be better in color at all. It looks like an overcast day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just love the way he has the bridge going from the top left and converging down in between the two posts on the pier. And, you know, even the base of the, you know, the structures that hold the bridge up that's down by the water, it's either paintings of whales on them.
Oh yeah.
Or it looks like paintings of whales. So it really looks kind of cool. And I think it is, because if you look on the far one, you could see, you know, what looks like the same kind of a painting on it. At first I thought it was deteriorating, you know, crumbling apart. But after looking at it again, it looks like dorsal fins and it looks like either whales or dolphins. So that's kind of a cool little detail in there that, you know, really makes you want to look closely at this image.
Yeah, it is. It looks like dolphins.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a really cool image. There's enough detail in the bridge. You know, it almost looks silhouetted, but there's enough detail left in it. You can still see a lot of the structure. And it's a really cool shot.
Yeah, very cool. What are your thoughts, Matt?
Generally, I agree with everything that you guys already said about it. I'm not being patronizing or trying to take the easy way out. I mean, you guys said everything about it that's good. It's definitely hard not to like this image. Honestly, I would love to see it with even more contrast.
Wow. Yeah.
I just think like it's such a simple picture, you know. There's not like, it's not busy, so it's kind of, it's like a good like graphic.
Yeah.
So I think like basically I just think if the highlights in the bridge were brighter, and actually maybe even the sky a little bit too, I just think that would make it like really pop.
Or maybe take some of the detail out of the land in the background. To the point where it would just be black. You wouldn't really see, you know, some of the subtle changes in the detail.
Maybe, but I still think it needs that contrast. I mean, it has contrast now, but just like a little bit more. I think the highlights are not highlighty enough. That's the technical term too.
Well, in any, you know, anyway, it's an awesome image, and I think Pedro did a great job. So congratulations, Pedro. You are our post pick of the week. And if you would like to be featured as post pick of the week, you have two options. One is to participate in our weekly photo challenge that we do typically for 2 weeks, and that you can go to our Facebook group and look for our pinned post, and you will find it there. Right now we're in the middle of that of food photography. Or the other option is to go onto Instagram and use the hashtag Tiny Shutter. And there is almost 40,000 images under that tiny shutter. I wish, for some reason, I wish we could, you know, kind of sort by date and not have to scroll to see what some of those first images were for when we first started. I would love to go back, but 40,000, that's quite a bit. I don't think I have the time or the focus to be able to do that. But yeah, we go to Instagram, use the hashtag Tiny Shutter, and we choose an image from there. So those are your two options. All right.
And just real quick, the Facebook group, we are going to hit 1,500 members in sometime in the next few days here.
Woohoo!
Nice. Yes.
Or at the rate we've been acquiring new members, maybe in just a couple days.
Yeah, we're 12 short of 1,500. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I'm really pleased on how the group is coming along, and seeing what everybody's doing. It's boggling my mind to see, because I remember when we were like, oh, we hit 500, woohoo! Yeah, now we have almost 1,000 more than that, and everybody is putting some amazing effort and time into their work, or the weekly photo challenge, or even some of the questions that people are posting. There's a lot of people that jump in and have some very good answers, and that is what our community is all about. So if you haven't joined us, please jump on in and join the crowd. It's a lot of fun. All right, gentlemen, I think we have reached the end of our road for this week. Is anything else that you guys would like to bring up?
Nope. I've changed my brand, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, go ahead, tell us real quick what it is.
Yeah, so, you know, I used to be Red Door Photos, and that was kind of my moniker that I used for, you know, my Facebook page, my website, all this stuff. But I thought, you know, what is that? What does that mean anymore to me? Where it came from, if anybody hasn't heard, is a picture of this red door that I took that I really liked, and I kind of used it to kind of brand myself, if you want to, you know, for the lack of better terms. And I always called my photography Red Door Photos.
Yep.
And that was with my Canon. I don't have that anymore. I shoot on my iPhone only. So my website is now called shotoniphoneonly.com. My Instagram name is shotoniphoneonly. I couldn't get the same thing for Twitter, so it's shotonaniphone.
Okay.
And I've just basically rebranded everything. So you'll still find me on Instagram the same way you always did it, just the name changes. If you follow me, you'll still see my stuff. But I thought, you know, it just better suits me as a photographer and with what I like to do. So just thought I'd throw that out there. And one more thing, Moment is just releasing a counterweight for the Osmo Mobile.
Huh.
And if you use the Moment lens on your phone on the Osmo Mobile, it tends to be a little heavy, especially with the version 2 lenses, because they're bigger. So it tends to make the Osmo work harder to hold the phone up. And if you have the Plus phone, it almost won't even hold it up unless you have a counterweight. So they have this nifty little counterweight they've just released, and then they're shipping in December, and it just clips over the arm on the side of the Osmo Mobile to help counterbalance all that weight. So I thought that was pretty cool. That might be worth mentioning. I know Mark has an Osmo Mobile. I have one. For any of the listeners out there that have one and are wondering, you know, what to do with these plus size phones, that's the ticket right there. So go to the Moment company's website, shopmoment.com, and they're taking pre-orders right now for these things. They're about $30 or $40, I think. And they have two different sizes. If you have the regular size iPhone, it's a 50 gram weight. And if you have the plus size iPhone, like the 7 or the 8 plus or the 10, they have one that's 100 grams. And it just clips on real easy and comes off. It's fantastic, because I was wondering, how am I going to balance this phone, my 8 plus, on my Osmo Mobile? I haven't been able to shoot with it because I didn't know how to counterbalance it. Well, now I got this thing coming, and it's going to make life a lot easier.
Would a case throw it off a little bit, or is it going to work?
Well, with the version 2 lenses, they only attach to a case, the photo case that you can get from Moment. That's the only – well, you could use the battery case, but I don't think it would fit in the Osmo Mobile.
Okay.
But the regular photo case fits in perfectly, and so the lens obviously just clips right onto it. And then put the counterweight on the other side, and away you go.
Very cool. All right.
So when I get this thing, I'll maybe try to throw a little video together of it, or you can just go to their website and see it there too.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. I want to see that. All right. Well, let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right. See here, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right. You can check me out on Instagram and Twitter and still sort of a little bit kind of on IM at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. Greg, tell everybody where they can find you.
Okay. You can rewind about 2 minutes, or you can just go to shot on iPhone. Well, let me think. Shot on iPhone only.com, or you can find me on Instagram, and my name is shot on iPhone only, and on Twitter, shot on an iPhone.
Very cool. Dave, tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me on Instagram as ProfPod, or in the Facebook group as Dave Podner.
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our show notes, links to Facebook, and to our YouTube channel by going to tinyshutter.com. All right, gentlemen, I think we have ourselves a show. So, at random, why don't you tell everybody good night?
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Have a great night, everybody.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Barely.